Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Very Let's exciting. Get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening, February 15th, 2017. Follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. AlmightyBaller.com is the website that is most readily updated. When I put the shows up, that's where they go. But Zardcast.com also where you can find our stuff. Definitely subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, any of those, they'll all do. Just search Zardcast. Hit the subscribe button. Easy and best way to get the show as well as soon as they are posted. Joining me this evening, as always, my co-host, David Keffer. How are you?
Pretty steamed. A little cheesed off, you could say.
Why is that?
The news just broke about 5 minutes ago. That Bradley Beal will not be making the All-Star team as Kevin Love's injury replacement.
Who's making it? Who they name over him?
Carmelo Anthony.
Boo! Terrible.
It is terrible.
Uninspiring.
I'm ready to take to the streets over this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty riled up, if you can't tell from my voice.
Also joining us, not in the room, though, on the line, Gary Jones. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here with you guys. And just so you know, even if I can't make it, I'm always just a hop, Skype, and a jump away.
What is your where are you recording right now? Are you laying in your bed? Are you on the couch? What's your setup?
I'm couching it for now, although this living room is a little echoey, so I might move to my bedroom. But at the moment, I'm on the couch.
Okay. Good to know. Glad we could wrangle you. Not a whole lot to discuss this evening. We've got two games. This is the only night we could bang out the pod, so we'll have to leave that Pacers game hanging. The tentative plan, though, for now is to record on Monday. So we'll talk about that Pacers game. We'll talk All-Star game. We'll go a little more in depth on the trade deadline, and we're going to try and have a guest, too. So even though the Wizards are off next week, we will not be. We'll do our best to put some quality audio content out there for you. But in the meantime, let's before we get into the Thunder game, get into the Pacers game from last Friday, we do have some kind of housekeeping type stuff that we want to take care of here. I didn't mean to blindside you guys, but over the weekend, I think it was over the weekend, Dave, you shot out a text. You said, "Hey, party at my place, March 4th, planning ahead." Not the Dave I know, but hey, I'll take it. Gary promptly responded, he was in. And I thought I told you guys this, but I'm going to Japan in March 4th through the 12th. So after that was divulged, we broke into plans of what's going to happen with the pod while I'm gone. And it seems like you guys are going to step up and take the reins while I'm off on the other side of the world.
For somebody who wasn't trying to blindside us, Schwenk, I really feel like Sandra Bullock right now.
I don't know about any kind of basketball happening in Japan, so I don't understand why you're going there. But yeah, we're going to step up and do it.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going for work. No basketball over there. Yeah, mostly probably boring meeting stuff, but I've never been to Japan, so that'll be fun. And I told Dave before we started recording, I'm a big Godzilla guy. I grew up big on Godzilla, and I need to come back with some good memorabilia. So that's my primary goal for the trip.
Try not to get stomped or laser beamed.
Yeah, that's true. I also might go to this this robot show. If you go online and look up Tokyo Robot Show, there's like some wild thing where people dress up like robots, and there's like laser shows and dancing and like scantily clad women, and apparently it was illegal for a while in Japan. The trip I'm going on, people went last year on this trip, and they went and said it was a good time. So you get drunk and watch some robots running around. So I think I might do that while I'm there. So no promises on the stomped or the laser slicing.
I can't imagine. That now sounds like the number one thing to do in Japan.
Robot show. Oh, man, I'm going to have some good stuff to come back on the pod with. What are your – so you guys were talking. You're like, oh, man, the first thing, Gary, I think you said, I've got so many ideas. What are you guys thinking for when I'm gone? Like, what's going to be so different about the show without me here?
You are so not allowed to know. You'll have to listen and find out just like everybody else.
That'll be scary. That'll be scary. Although I did say I would do the posting. So you guys just, I'm going to teach you how to record it and send it to me. And then I will, I'll take care of it from there.
So you're going to get final cut is what you're saying.
Yes. I might not listen to it all, but I'm definitely just going to, I'll be the one to upload it. So I might listen.
It's just going to be a 70 minute long moo.
Just the moo on repeat. Well, all right. Well, then that – so that kind of led us into our other discussion here. So additional housekeeping might not – and this, you know, not for me so much because I will be going on vacation for this one, but might miss the first game or two of the playoffs. Not really – I didn't look into see what the – if there's like a first round timetable. I'm sure they have it all laid out. Can look into it now. But yeah, I'm going on vacation with my girlfriend and her family. I believe like Monday, April 10th, for a whole week. So that is the 10th is the second to last game of the season. Last game is the 12th. I'd imagine the playoffs would start that Saturday, probably Saturday or Sunday. So I might miss the first game, and I guess we did it last time the Wizards were in the playoffs. We recorded after every game, just about. And so, yeah, you guys might have to take the reins there again.
What an exciting time.
Are you guys daunted by this task?
No, we're definitely up to it. Honestly, Gary and I were talking about this a little bit offline.
Oh, side convo.
And not to be disrespectful or anything, but I think you're pretty clearly holding us back.
Do you agree with that statement, Gary?
I was trying to turn that into, what did LeBron say? Like, I never stepped down. I thought I could pull something with that, and it didn't work.
I did receive a review, secondhand review, from one of our listeners, Thomas McSwegan. Mm. Shout out to Tomcat. My younger brother, best friends with him, said he played golf and said he's an avid Zardcast listener, which I didn't know, but he said he likes the funny, and we should be funnier. We should do more funny and less basketball talk. So his dreams will probably come true once you guys take the reins, because I would like to think that I bring like the serious hold-it-together angle, and you guys bring the laughs and the insight. So less structure, more laughs.
Well, maybe. I think that's an interesting way to – I don't think the dichotomy of the show is like it's either basketball or it's funny. I think like – 10% of it is basketball, like 10% of it is funny, and then the rest of it is just nonsense. But
well, so that's kind of the plan going forward here. So yeah, we'll do a show next week. We'll do one after that. So 3 shows from now, I will not be present, and yeah, it'll be
so. Set your Google alerts now, people.
It'll be interesting. I guess the other piece of housekeeping that we have to discuss here is our postseason plan. So we're jumping all the way to hopefully June, but more than likely May. But yeah, we're looking ahead. As we normally like to do, we like to do like a fun end of season episode that normally gets a little bit debaucherous, might go a little bit off the rails. Was it the last one or the one we did? I don't remember the last one. Was it the one two ago that we did the Power Hour?
Yeah, that was the end of the 14-15 season.
Okay. I don't think we quite did a Power Hour or something like that for the last one, but it did get frisky. And we're trying to up the ante to get back to that Power Hour level. So there were some ideas percolating. You guys want to share what you were thinking?
Yeah, I think the basic idea that I had is we base it on how many games they play in the playoffs, and each game correlates to a number of minutes that we didn't have set yet, but let's say 12 or something like that. And then, so the minimum would be 4 games, the maximum 28, however many games they play in the playoffs. We have to do a podcast of that many minutes, and we aren't allowed to leave the podcast room for that entire duration, except for maybe the occasional bathroom break.
So you said 12 minutes per game?
That I was trying to do some math the other day to figure out what would be best, because if you do 12, then the minimum's 48. Maximum was
5.6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do 15 minutes, you're at an hour minimum. And then what's the hours on that?
Sorry. That would be 7 hours.
And then if you do 10, it's like 40 and,
10 times 28. 4.6.
Let's do 12.
Okay. I like 12. Yeah.
What a ride we would all take together if the Wizards played 28 games and then we did a 6-hour podcast after a game 7 in the finals.
I mean, of course, totally hypothetical, but like if the Wizards won game 7 of the NBA finals, I feel like we could just sit there. It wouldn't even be a challenge to talk for 6 hours.
Absolutely not. The other thing, well, what I'm worried about is if the Wizards were to go to the finals, play 7 games, I feel like there's a good chance I would lose my job. I'm not going to be like getting up to go to work every day after a game in the finals.
Very good point.
We'll see.
It has a lot of potential, though. I mean, just apart from the three of us, I mean, I feel like we should definitely like gather together a crew of people to just hang out, chime in, you know, so you say they even get, they get to the second round, they play, you know,
if they played 2 series and they both went 6 games, that's 144 minutes. That's 220 right there.
Yeah. I mean, and if we were to get swept in the first round, 48 minutes is all I could probably handle anyways.
Yeah.
I'd probably just be so bitter that.
Yeah. So this sounds good. I like where this is going. You know, I think the last time we had a Kings correspondent Kevin on was the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He would be a good fit for this. Maybe we bring, our boy Binstock back from the dead.
No. No, we won't be doing that.
Original Zardcast co-host before he freaked out about when we recorded and whatnot. That was funny.
I mean, we're at like 15 minutes right now and have done nothing. Yeah. So it'll be a piece of cake.
All right. Well, that sounds good to me. We'll see how it shapes out, and you know, once we get into the playoffs, we'll start reaching out to folks. We can Skype people in too. It'll get real wild.
In case you guys want to get a little madder, with Carmelo getting the Kevin Love All-Star replacement nod, I'm told Bradley Beal wasn't even the second option.
What?
Yeah.
Who was the
who do you who do you think it was?
I guess if the logic is that they wanted to replace Love, because Beal would have been like the 7th or 8th guard, I think.
Right.
If they wanted to replace Love with another big man, could have been Dwight Howard. Al Horford, maybe. Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's lame, but sure, whatever.
Sure is lame. Adam Silver, he's the one that picked this, right?
I have no idea.
Well, he can suck a butt.
He confirmed that he's alive and still breathing with the whole Charles Oakley, Michael yeah. Jordan sit down this week. We haven't seen or heard from him in ages, so. All right, let's talk about these games. I think I'm feeling an in and out kind of quick pod here, guys. So let's get into it. Let's go back to last Friday. Wiz played the Pacers. They win that one, 112-107. John Wall, the closer, you guys. Markieff Morris, huge, huge night. Big three at the end. He had a nice tip out off a free throw. Gortat had a really nice game, too. He has dubbed him and Markieff Morris the Phoenix Outlaws. I love that nickname. I think Markieff Morris is not really sold on it, but I'm all in on the Phoenix Outlaws. And, you know, kind of a back-and-forth game. They were able to shut it down and close it out. Another national television game. You know, just a great spotlight for the Wiz, for John Wall, for DC. And they, you know, they continue to roll, especially at home. You know, they've won, you know, with a Thunder game that is 18 of their last 19 at home, I think is...
That's pretty good.
Is what it comes down to. So this one was exciting. I didn't watch too much of the first half. I was out and about, but got home plenty of time to catch the end of this one and enjoyed it for sure.
It was nice that Paul George killed us as usual, and we still were able to get a win. He had 31 points. He just loves to beat up on the Wizards.
Yeah. Weird though.
Gortat in this game was doing way more like tip outs of rebounds and was way more active on the offensive boards than usual, and that was nice to see. He created some of them. He didn't necessarily get, but he was smacking a lot out and created a lot of extra chances for him.
I think did you guys listen to that Zach Lowe Scott Brooks podcast?
I did not.
I think that Zach Lowe said that Gortat is the best in the league at that.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, he does it multiple times. I mean, probably two or three times every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, so that game he had 16 rebounds, 8 of them offensive. I mean, he only averages 3 offensive rebounds a game. So that's a nice little evening for him. You guys listen to that. You guys both listen to that Scott Brooks low post interview. What any other good nuggets come out of there?
I didn't listen yet. I downloaded it. I haven't listened yet.
Well, I'll lay some spoilers on you guys if you'd like.
Please. Spoil me, spoil me.
It was just really good. I don't listen to the low post that much. Even though I really like Zach Lowe, we should get him on. See if we can raise his profile a little bit.
Yeah.
Get him on the Zardcast.
I got a guest list for Monday. Maybe I'll put him down there. I can find his email address.
I'm sure he doesn't have anything better to do. but it was really good. It was Brooks talking about it was him opening up about himself in a way that made him – he seemed like a really nice guy. It was very endearing to hear, especially compared to, like, Randy Whitman. Like, Scott Brooks talked for about 10 minutes about how important his mother was to him growing up and like the work ethic she instilled in him. And I can't imagine if somebody asked Randy Whitman about his mom, whether he would be,
he'd be like, I don't know, she's dead. I'm really sorry for Randy Whitman's mom is not dead.
And he talked a lot about the team, specifically Markieff Morris, that he kind of just lit a fire under his butt over the last, I don't know, a halftime of a game a few weeks ago, and that's what everybody attributes to his turnaround. He had an interesting story about how he plays, or he'll do this drill at the end of practice where he'll pick one guy on the team, he'll say, he'll pick John Wall, and he'll say, I want you to pick three guys that can't guard you, and he'll make him go one-on-one against each one of those guys one after another, which sounds like a thing I would really love to watch.
Totally.
Let's see, another highlight. They also talk about Kelly Oubre and how handsome he is and how fashionable he is. And then Scott Brooks is like, well, if you look like Kelly Oubre, you can just get away with wearing whatever you want.
He just seems like a nice guy. Like
he does.
I mean, I've heard interviews with Randy Whitman before where I'm like, yeah, he's all right. But you know, when you see him in press conferences every day for whatever it was, 4 years, you just, he was a curmudgeon. That's just his personality.
Yeah. When you would get a peek at Randy Whitman, the person, the biggest takeaway is like, oh, he actually is a human being after all.
Right.
And that's about it. But it was nice to hear, and I think the players probably relate to that. It sounds like it. At least you can tell even the players are more like emotional in their post game, you know, talking to the media and stuff, which is a good thing, I think, especially when you have like younger guys, because it is like an emotional thing trying to be a team like that. You can't just yell at everybody all the time.
I feel like we have a better sense of what everyone's connection is to Scott Brooks rather than Randy Whitman. Like I feel like we kind of, you know, deduced that John Wall really did like Randy Whitman, but they never, yeah, he would never really explicitly say that they were like pals, you know?
Right.
And I mean, I feel like a lot has come out about, you know, Scott Brooks and Markieff Morris's relationship, which, you know, it's been huge obviously, but like, yeah, you just never, even if Markieff Morris was on fire playing under Randy Whitman, we would have never heard about that.
Right. And like the one time Whitman did express like some strong feelings for Wall, it was when he went after Michael Lee. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. When Michael Lee didn't even suggest that Wall was playing hurt or anything, but Whitman went off on him.
Right.
And he just seemed like he was like a dad who couldn't express himself with his children. Like,
well, Scotty Brooks, good guy. Heard he was he's putting up his Malibu compound up on the market. I don't remember. I think it's worth like $30 million or something. But
30?
Three.
Oh,
whew. But it sounds like he might be moving the whole family east. Which I guess, you know, you get a 5-year contract, it's probably time to do that at some point. Because I know, I guess probably until now he's been living in like an apartment near the Verizon Center.
Well, it was probably touch and go for him a little bit when they were 2-8. Like, yeah, it's call a realtor, we might not want to sell this thing yet.
Bringing the family to the East Coast. This was a good game, though. Enjoyed it. Chance to really to get the 3-1 victory in the series tomorrow against the Pacers, hopefully when you're listening to this today. So that would be fun. I'd take that over split and be nice to have a tiebreaker. You know, Indiana has been kind of surging lately. They lost tonight against the Cavs, but you know, just a team that is on, you know, in the mix behind Washington. So definitely want to rack up wins against those guys whenever you can. And actually, oh man, soundboard's muted. That was disappointing, you guys. Let's try it again. There you go. And you know what? Had to give him some love for the 16 board game.
He should have made the All-Star team over Carmelo Anthony.
Totally. Total team guy, best pick and roll big man in the league. He's been playing better defense recently too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always kind of a soft spot in his game, but you know, against, you know, the top tier of big men, he's really upped his play lately, which, you know, the entire team has. But I think, I mean, I don't know why. It still happens. You go on Wizards Twitter, like, people just crap all over Gortat the entire game, which just makes no sense to me.
It's happened as long as he's been on the team, right. I think.
He's an outlaw, you know? Sometimes people don't like outlaws.
All right, let's jump over to Monday night's game, another national television game, this one on TNT. Thunder come to the phone booth. On the heels of two really emotional games, they beat the Cavaliers last Thursday. Then they have the whole Durant homecoming, which was a whole weird thing. Let's talk about that for a second, actually, just because we're free rolling tonight. The fans in Oklahoma City, I know they're a one team town, and like basketball is all they got, and it's a community, man. But come on, everybody, the people. I mean, it's one thing if you want to taunt them at the game, but like the people at the hotel, the cupcake stuff, just dumb. All of it's dumb, and of course they torched them.
Right,
but we did get that one moment of. And it was like the perfect Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook moment of Russ being like, you say, like, I'm coming for you.
I'm coming, yeah.
And Durant's just like, we're winning. Sorry. And that was it. I mean, that was like the most perfect encapsulation of both their personalities.
I think they definitely went overboard in the anti-Durant stuff, but I love that a lot of it seems to come from a place of everyone just really, really getting behind Russ as much as it is them being mad at Durant.
I don't know. I thought it seemed much more negative than that. Like the cupcake t-shirts, like put Westbrook on your t-shirt. Don't wear your dumb cupcake t-shirts. And I don't know. It all just seemed really, it's ugly. And you would think after everybody saw the Cavs burning their jerseys and then sweeping up the ashes and trying to put them back together when LeBron came back to town and how dumb they all looked. You would think, I don't know, it's just such an ugly way to treat somebody that has been such a big part of your lives if you're a Thunder fan. Like, I would be devastated if John Wall left, but I can't imagine, like, turning on him like that.
Absolutely. I feel like I would be, I mean, it would definitely hurt, like, if he went to like the Hawks or something and the Hawks had just edged him out for a chance to go to the Eastern Conference final. But like, if, you know, he wants to make a lifestyle change and, you know, feels like he's got a better chance to win somewhere else. Like, so what? The Wizards suck. Like, you know, the Thunder are, you know, a brand new organization. Like they really haven't experienced any suck. You know, that's probably going to happen eventually, but I don't blame him.
I think everything in stadium that isn't like going at it, like the stuff, like if they're yelling towards his mom or if they're going like real overboard with what they're saying to him. I think they said there was one like heckler who was right near the bench and was saying like pretty inappropriate stuff. That is no good. And anything in the hotel, that's no good. But I think anything that's just in the stadium and is like not inappropriate, I'm all about any of that. I don't care. You're just cheering. Like, think about how nuts we went, or like we would go when the Celtics are here now. Like, I know it's different. It's your own guy coming back, but it's just fun to get swept up in that sort of like rivalry and things. I think like making cupcake shirts, it's just fun to me. I'm all about it.
I really like the big fat guy who paid the cupcake on his big belly. That was great. Personal highlight of the night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with most of the stuff that happened in the arena. It's just so much of the, like, conversation around it. Like, everybody calling him a bitch and stuff and, like, a coward. Like, it's not that serious. And especially if you live in Oklahoma, you think you'd be super used to people around you leaving for a better life. But
right. I mean, like, seriously, like, he's a young single man, like, Oklahoma City or San Francisco, like, come on.
Right.
I mean, I don't blame him for a second. So this game on Monday, I kind of sniffed a letdown there, and that's exactly what happened. The Wizards, I mean, who would have thought that I'll glance at the schedule here. Not a whole lot of wins where you're like, ah, that was relaxing. But this was a relaxing win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think Russ Westbrook, he played 24 minutes. I mean, I don't think he played much after midway through the third quarter. I think he was done. They basically pulled all the starters. Even when they kind of made a little run at it towards the end, the Wizards put their starters back in very briefly and completely shut the door on them. It was exciting. I mean, they were totally locked in, and it's fun to watch the Wizards do that, especially against a pretty good team.
That was one of the most fun games to watch all year, especially that stretch in the third quarter where the Thunder missed, I think, 24 shots in a row, and the Wizards were just getting rebounds, turning them over, running. Wall was throwing all sorts of crazy passes. Everybody was dunking, hitting threes. That was probably the most fun stretch of basketball I think I've watched. I mean, they were just blowing them out, and then it culminated in that Wall between the legs pass on the fast break to Otto, and then he sprinted to the other side of the court. That was pretty exciting.
And just smiling as the phone booth goes nuts.
Yeah, I also had a pretty was confident that the Wizards would have a win there, but I definitely didn't expect them to shut down Westbrook the way they did, even in the minutes he was playing in the first half. So that was really a pretty nice surprise. And then, coupled with how amazing they played in the third quarter and everything else, it was really a treat to watch. The only downside was, what's his face? That one dude, Josh LaVerne, was like came out of nowhere to score like 20 points in the fourth. It was just like a gnat buzzing around you when you already knew the game was over.
Joffrey LaVerne. You believe that guy's name is Joffrey?
Yeah,
I didn't. I mean, when they were out there, I went to the game, but I was like, who's this LaVerne guy? I don't know anything about Alex O'Brien's. Kyle Singler, I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of Thunder games. I know he gets a decent run, but I was used to watching him in college. He's not like the lanky Skeletor guy that I used to know, so that was a little bit jarring. Exciting. Russ shot 5 for 19.
I felt a little bad for him. He was clearly upset. He was missing shots, and if he's not going to make them, literally nobody on that team is going to make them. With Cantor out, they got nothing. They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
While we're talking Russ and Wizards, I was on Reddit today, and people were debating where Wall stacks up in the point guards. Somebody's argument for why he should be ahead of Russ and Harden was turnovers, and which made me curious. So I looked up just like turnover percentage, because I thought because of how much Westbrook and Harden handle the ball, they might actually be below Wall, even though they turn over more per game. And I was right about Westbrook, wrong about Harden. Harden's like one of the highest turnover percentage in the whole league. But the thing I found out in this search that was only semi-related, but was really nice to see, out of something like 290 qualifying players, Otto Porter has the sixth best turnover percentage in the entire NBA. He only turns the ball over 6%, 6 out of 100 possessions.
Damn.
That's pretty, I mean, it's believable, but it's still really impressive. He just doesn't, I can't even think of what an Otto Porter turnover really looks like. Because even when, he'll slash into the lane and he'll either shoot or dish it off, or he'll just, catch and shoot. But I guess that's why at the beginning of the year they had that stat. He had like the longest streak of games with a steal and no turnovers or whatever. And
yeah.
I feel like the only time he really kind of loses control of the ball, which probably doesn't even count as a turnover, is when he like almost has a rebound in his grasp and he's like has his arms fully extended. He gets like one or two bounces on it trying to control it, and then someone swats it away. That's like the only time I can think of him.
I really would bet most of his turnovers are when a crazy Wall pass comes to him and he can't quite handle it, and then he gets credited with the turnover.
I've seen him get a decent amount of offensive fouls as well, which go in as a turnover.
That's true.
Thunder got it's bad when Andrew Nicholson gets in the game. He saw about 3 minutes of action there at the end. Sheldon McClellan also poking his head.
You know who did not look good?
Who?
He's got a sound drop. His name's Jan.
Mm.
I'm hoping it's just rust. I mean, he hasn't played basically the entire year, but he looked really bad. He was just fumbling the ball, turning it over like half the time he had it.
Was he playing mostly with the second unit, or did he play with the starters a good amount?
He got some minutes with the starters early in the game, and then mostly second unit from then on.
I forgot how. I guess he did go 4 for 6 from the line, but I think he missed his first two, and I was like, "Ooh, goodness, Jan." And while he didn't look great, I mean, I think it's rusted. I mean, it seems like I think what he I saw some quotes that, it's not like conditioning. He's just trying to. He's still trying to get up to game speed, I guess. Right. So he's almost like fully involved. He played. What did he end up playing there? Played 15 minutes, so that's pretty good. And while he didn't play well tonight, he did. He looked okay against the Nets last week. He looked fine enough against the Pacers in limited action. So,
I don't know how good he's ever going to look if he's going to play with Trey Burke as the point guard. I mean, I don't think Otto ever plays any minutes without or with Trey Burke, and I don't think he could do much either.
Satoransky has to like play the point exclusively. And I feel like more often than not that they kind of both get jumbled up in who is handling like the main, ball handling responsibilities. But I don't know. I mean, Trey Burke didn't, he scored 11 points. He looked, he was good enough against the Thunder, and he probably is good about every 10 to 15 games or so. I just feel like too often they literally run into each other.
Yeah,
because Trey Burke, he does a lot of dribbling, and Satoransky is just like, hey, I'm open, give me the ball, and then it just they collide.
Yeah, I would rather see it the other way around with Sato as the primary ball handler, mm-hmm. and then try something, try to make a play. If it doesn't work, then give it to Burke. He's gonna dribble the air out of the ball and probably shoot it anyway. So why not try Sato first? But
hopefully that when Mahimney kind of gets his rhythm, his sea legs back underneath of him, that when they need a defensive big man, like Gortat is getting pummeled, like that's when he's going to come in and really make an impact. And, I don't know, Gortat clearly doesn't have much experience playing with the bench, but, in that situation, that's when you can kind of, you flip the two and then maybe Gortat provides a little bit of bench scoring. Something to look for as the season progresses. And that's about it for games here, boys. That's all I got. Let's look at these Eastern Conference standings here. Fire up some music. Martell Webster Overture. So the Cavs rocked by the big news. I mean, this is, I guess, a lot of big news at the Eastern Conference this week. Mm-hmm. We got Kevin Love out for 6 weeks. Kind of opening things up here. Maybe. For that top spot. They're at 38-16. They beat the Pacers tonight as of recording this. Ooh, Pacers on the back on a back-to-back. I like that for tomorrow. The Celtics are 2.5 games behind them. The Wiz are 5 games back of the number one seed. The Hawks 6.5 at the 4, and the Raptors 7 games back at the 5. So, Washington's got it. If they want to, stay competitive, then the 2 seed obviously within grasp. But they keep ripping off wins.
Little bad news: both the Celtics and Raptors won tonight.
So that's the other part of this. Well, the Pacers are at the 6th slot, notably 4.5 games behind the Wiz, just to get a feel for that spacing there. You got the Bulls at the 7 at 27-29, the Pistons at the 8, and still kind of a I mean, you could say the Heat are in the mix for that last playoff spot. The Heat, the Hornets, the Bucks, and the Pistons all kind of jumbled in there with the Bulls for that 7-8 range. Oof. That's a nightmare. I mean, even the Knicks, their playoff hopes aren't completely dead. Although, if you talk to our friend Stuart from Long Island, he would rather have a hole in his head than the Knicks get blasted in the first round of the playoffs. So
we so easily
up 12 on the Thunder right now.
Oh,
we so easily could have been in that 8-9 mix right now. Imagine how unpleasant that would be.
You know, honestly, like that's how it was last year, just grasping for the 8 seed, and you know, no first round pick last year, so there was literally nothing to look forward to. But I think if the Wiz were in this situation this year, I'd want them to just start losing games and, you know, get as high a pick as they possibly could.
Yeah.
Last year it's different when you're coming off back to back playoff seasons, and there is potential that you see, but I mean, there's no potential with really any of these teams. You know, the Bucks, no Jabari Parker, the Hornets, The Heat, I mean, maybe they keep rolling, but I mean, there's still.
It really seems like every one of those teams down there, except for the Heat, who are just playing with house money at this point, are more in a position of like, what is wrong with our franchise and do we need to make like serious changes? Like, there was a Zach Lowe article about the Pistons today on ESPN and about, you know, their two franchise guys, Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, are not at all getting it done the way they need to. And
they're both apparently available in trade talks right now.
Yep.
Oh, man. There's going to be, you know, we talked probably last week how we were kind of like, oh, you know, a lot of teams still in the mix for the playoffs. Like, who's going to want to give up, you know, their players? But, I mean, you look at the East. I feel like a lot of teams would be willing to give up, you know, someone good on their team for a first round pick.
Well, and I think that's a really good thing for the Wizards, because the fewer buyers there are and the more sellers means that the price of a Will Barton, a Lou Williams goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hopefully just more teams keep cratering in the next week or so. And
I'm all in. I've decided on either. I think I'm more all in, and I think I don't know how much more enticing either thing would be, but either trading away this year's first round or the 2018 first round.
Yeah.
I think I'm all in on either one of those scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it would probably be worth it as the pick gets worse and the upside gets higher. Obviously it'd be better to sell or to get rid of next year's pick. And then if we could potentially throw Andrew Nicholson's contract in there, mm-hmm. get somebody to take that, that would be awesome.
Yeah. For certain. So the other piece to this, and the reason why I think I'm higher than ever on getting rid of one of these next two first rounders, the Toronto Raptors, they acquired Serge Ibaka from the very much sunk Orlando Magic, you know, upping the arms race at the top of the conference. Serge Ibaka, although hasn't looked himself, I think that's kind of what Orlando does to you, especially when you've got Frank Vogel trying to force his system into something that really, it wasn't working for him down there. So he hasn't looked the same, but I feel like we see this a lot where a guy goes from a crap team to a good team and, you know, all of a sudden turns it on. I mean, this guy last year, did he get hurt last year? I can't remember. But
two,
I mean,
years ago. Well,
he's looked good in recent years with the Thunder.
I kind of thought he was pretty clearly in decline the last couple years with the Thunder. I haven't watched a ton of him with the Magic, so I don't know. But I mean, he's obviously a really good shooter for his size. He's a good shot blocker, but I don't know how much I would love to see. I don't think he can play against the Wizards, really. Like, Markieff Morris would abuse him, I think, if he stretched him out to the three-point line. I don't think he can guard Gortat. I think Gortat could handle him pretty well. So I don't think it's a huge – and everybody in the East, the top teams in the East, have you know, Kevin Love, Millsap, Al Horford. Somebody's going to take you out to the three-point line. I don't know that Ibaka can really do that.
Good points. Good points. So not you're not as scared as I think my first thought, because it came on the heels of the Kevin Love news. On the one hand, you're like, yes, that things could be a little bit more open now. And then, you know, Ibaka is reinforcements, you know, off the bench for the Raptors. But
he'll start.
Oh, he's going to start.
Well,
yeah, he should take over for Sullinger, I think, right?
Well, I think once Patterson comes back, I would be kind of surprised if they're better with Ibaka in there than with Patterson. I think Patterson is what made that, like, when he went down, I think that's why the Raptors have been so awful lately. I don't know. I don't think him and Valanciunas, I don't think that's a good pairing together. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Could spell kind of what had been occurring in Orlando with Frank Vogel trying to do the two big lineup, which doesn't really work super well these
days. Then maybe it would just be Ibaka and Patterson, and that might work really well. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
They've certainly got options, which is something the Wizards don't really have. So
maybe it'll be like a Grunfeld classic, like a desperation move to save your season that really turns the whole thing around. But I really hope that it's not.
We've seen a few of those before. All right, guys, let's go this week in John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizard.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall.
So I can't say for certain that I might watch a little bit of the All-Star game. I'll most likely end up watching highlights. We talked about this last week. But I will certainly try and get in front of a television for the skills challenge. That'll be fun. And, you know, John's just been killing it. Three national games in 1 week. That'll do it. That Pacers game, he went nuts. I mean, he scored something like 8 of the last 9 points to shut the game. And he scored 26 and had 14 assists. So he's on fire. He's great. John's just the best. That's all I got to say.
I think my favorite John Wall thing from this week was somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody on Twitter was unearthing old Jason Whitlock tweets about him, talking about how he was not going to be a good pro and all this other stuff, and just retweeting them. And that was really fun.
That's weird that Whitlock, he goes on Colin Cowherd all the time. They don't ever talk about how terrible John Wall is. Funny, that's not a topic for them.
I also think it was somebody else did that same thing to some sports radio guy who said that Otto Porter would never be a significant part of the Wizards team. I think it was last week, too. And that's always, I mean, it's kind of cheap. That's just what people on sports radio do is make dumb hot takes like that, but it's always very satisfying.
Yeah, that's what Twitter's for.
It's satisfying when they go, when there's sports guys who go so frequently on one guy. So like the Whitlock was like a whole series of tweets. Yeah. So it's really nice to see that one come back.
Jason Whitlock is not watching any NBA games. There's no chance.
He's too busy, like, worried about which hat he's going to wear the next day. That's got to be a whole thing at night. All right, gentlemen. That's all I got for this week. John Wall, do we want to dabble in some pop culture detour and shut it down?
Yeah, sure. Pop culture detour. Well, the Skype altered that sound drop.
Yeah, it got a little distorted, I think.
You know, you were like, I'm going to Skype, but like, is there a way I can do the pop culture detour sound drop from my home? And yeah, we figured it out. It was fine. It gets the job done. I just got to say, this is probably the only way to talk Duke pop culture detour. Still haven't watched the last 4 episodes of The Young Pope.
Well, you know what?
I didn't watch I didn't watch the last two.
Okay, I haven't watched the last two either. And guys, I feel like the natural inclination is to be like, I haven't done my job. I'm not prepared. The listeners are going to be mad. But the thing about Pop Culture Detour is that we're all going on this pop culture journey together. And like, if you don't get a chance, you can't make it a priority to watch the two. That's part of it. You know what I mean? If it's the last two episodes of Breaking Bad, do you think you're like, oh, I didn't get a chance? No, you're going to watch them.
Right, right.
What?
And Detour in itself implies that it's a, you know, sort of an unplanned route.
Right.
Which means we can definitely come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and crank them all out over the course of the weekend. I didn't click on anything because I didn't want to read any spoilers, but saw some good reviews on Twitter. One of my coworkers, he plowed through all of them and, you know, said the ending was good, satisfying. So, or not quite satisfying, but good for sure. So we'll come back to it whenever we get a chance. That being said, guys, The Bachelor is hot fire right now.
Oh my God.
Caught up last night. Hometowns. Oh man. Hometowns are next week. It's going to be good. So this is like the big thing with The Bachelor right now is one of the final four contestants is a black girl. And I don't think a black girl has ever made it to the final four. And they kind of blew their load. The Bachelor, like the production team or whatever.
I thought that happens at the hometown.
No, they saved that for the fantasy suite. Actually, the Bachelor himself has been on like three times, and one of the seasons, one of the big scandals was that he had sex with the Bachelorette, and like nobody knew until like the very end. So it like became a whole thing. And in this most recent episode, one of the girls propositioned herself. And he was like, no, I cannot do that.
Wait, they don't have sex with each other?
Well, they do. This time he said no because of all the issues it caused, you know, when he was a contestant rather than like the guy or on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I just don't understand the dating scene anymore.
Yeah. You're basically a married
man.
Sorry,
schedule-wise, if next week is hometowns, does that mean the week after that is the finale?
Yes.
Okay, so now we know the real reason you can't podcast in 2 weeks.
He's hosting a really elaborate bachelor party in Japan, actually.
It's huge over in Japan. But what I was getting at with the lone black girl on the show is that they like outed her as not winning, but she will be the next Bachelorette.
People are going to be furious.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they'll be furious, but I think it'll definitely be. I mean, white women watch it, like so probably, but it'll be interesting. And then they had this conversation. She's like, "Well, if you come home with me, I've never brought a white dude home before, so my parents will certainly be skeptical." So that'll be interesting. The hometowns are always good, especially because there's always like weirdo siblings, drunk parents. You know, you get to see like the cheesy setup they do to like really bring it home with the hometown. Like, oh, we're going to go to the local toy factory. We're going to go canoeing in this polluted river. Like,
aren't they like rented houses half the time too? They're not even really the family's homes.
Yeah, they do. That is like the speculation. Some of them, though, like past contestant JoJo, her family lived in like a McMansion, like outside of Dallas, and So they mix it up. Season with Jordan Rogers on, like awkward, not talking about Aaron Rodgers. They brought it up very strangely. There were some like overtouchy brothers in that season, so I'm pumped. So yeah, there's your Bachelor recap, everyone. I know that's what you're waiting for.
I was really afraid we were about to dive into the murky waters of race and sexuality for a second there, and I'm glad that we didn't.
You guys got any recs?
I don't think I've checked out anything new. I think after I log off this Skype, I think I'm going to check out the first episode of Legion, but I haven't watched it yet. Ooh. So I can't speak on whether it's good or not.
That looks good.
I just finished season one of The Expanse. It's a sci-fi show on the Sci-Fi Network. It's like a Thomas Jane.
Is it about? Sorry, go ahead.
Is it about what?
Is it about homemade jean shorts?
Is that a brand of jean shorts? Is that what you're?
Yeah, X pants.
Oh my god.
All right, carry on.
Go on, Dave.
It is mostly about that, but it's also just about like it's like a political space. There's like the Martians, the Earthlings, and then these people that live in between and are like a bunch of lower class, like the working class that lives in between Earth and Mars. And there's a lot of like political maneuverings happening, a lot of cool like space fights. Just finished the first season, second season just started. It was pretty good.
I like a good sci-fi series, some space fights. I'm all in on space fights normally.
Thomas Jane has like a really ridiculous haircut in it, which is entertaining.
Very futuristic of them.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good stuff.
Gentlemen, do we have anything we want to end with here before we shut it all down?
Let's predict winners in the contests.
Ooh.
And I'll say Wizards go 1-0.
I think I'm in on 1-0 too, you guys. I don't normally say all wins, but...
Also, we should start having some sort of accountability, or at least like, at least talk about how we did with our predictions the week before.
I feel like that's part of the fun part, that we don't ever acknowledge it. Okay, so the dunk contest. We got Aaron Gordon from the Magic, Derek Jones Jr. from the Suns, DeAndre Jordan from the Clips, and Glenn Robinson III from the Pacers. I feel like the trendy pick right now has been Derek Jones Jr.
I don't really know anything about him.
He put out some sort of like dunk contest hype up video. So yeah, he is trendy. Is that your pick, Schwenk?
Yeah, I'll go with the trendy pick.
Okay. I gotta go with it. You writing him down?
Yeah.
I gotta go with Aaron Gordon. I mean, he was robbed last year, I thought.
Totally.
And then whether or not he actually deserves it this year, I think they might try to, you know, give him the makeup call. So I'll go Gordon.
I'm gonna go DeAndre Jordan because he seems nice and I hope he wins. And also, pretty sure that these things are largely rigged, like the time that Blake Griffin brought out that Kia and dunked over it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think we'll probably see some kind of State Farm where DeAndre Jordan leaps through like a burning house, signs a claim, and then dunks the ball. And then he wins because State Farm is paying the NBA a bunch of money.
I mean, that'd be sweet. I'd watch that.
We all would.
So skills challenge, I think you could put us all down for wall. I don't think we need to discuss that. Right?
So, yeah. But are there going to be two winners?
I think there's a big man and a little man winner.
Okay. Is Cousins in it?
Yes.
I'm going to pick him.
Oh my god, more autoplay, you guys.
I'll go with Jokic since he's using Embiid's spot, so it'll be like Embiid kind of won, so I'll go with Jokic.
I'll go with Kristaps. You know, he's been overshadowed a lot of the season. This is time to break out. All right, guys.
And then the 3-point?
Pardon me.
Come on.
That's just rude. I am going to go with... I'm going Eric Gordon.
That's a good pick. I'm going to take... Nick Young.
Oh, Swaggy P.
I'm going to need to hear some names of the other available choices.
It's Eric Gordon, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Wes Matthews, CJ McCollum, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Nick Young.
Kemba Walker. Why not?
Okay. Well, I think I'm more excited for the skills, the three-point, and the dunk contest than I am the All-Star game. So it's always, I mean, I feel like these things are like a really good, you're just hanging out. You don't really need the sound, drinking some beers, like a very casual but still exciting watch on Saturday night.
I agree.
All right, let's get out of here on that. We'll be back, I guess, Tuesday. We'll record on Monday, be back on Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit about All-Star Game, Skills Challenge, 3-point, all that. We can dive into some trade deadline stuff, maybe peruse the schedule a little bit, talk about the Pacers game. So, still things to get into even while the NBA is off for a week. So we'll return then. Until then, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, all that jazz. Follow us on Twitter. At Zardcast, for my co-hosts, David Keffer, Gary Jones, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.
Amen. Amen. Amen.